Well, turning your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Daniel. Daniel, of course, is in Babylon. He's in captivity. There's the ruler named Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, this is a special section of the Bible because it's actually a pagan king. We call him that way. The king of the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, actually writes, and he writes what happened to him concerning God. Nebuchadnezzar realizes that God is the sovereign ruler. That's what happens. God reveals through Nebuchadnezzar in a dream, and Daniel interprets the dream. And then this morning, we actually see the fulfillment of the dream. So Daniel is an amazing book. You know, we talked about this when we started studying the book of Daniel. When you look at this book, several things were to stand out. This book helps us put together the end time events. We've already seen in chapter 2 what happened there. We're going to see more in chapter 5, and then in chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. The whole end time events all come together, and so that's great. But it also helps us to see how to live in a fallen world, in a hostile culture. How does Daniel live? How does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, how do they live in a culture that's not a biblical culture at all? And we see what happens this morning. When we look this morning, four things were to stand out. We're going to see the interpretation of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's response to that, then God's judgment, and then what I call the final results, and we'll see that as we look at it. You know, God is a God of grace and love and mercy. So when you think about God, how do we think? We think that he loves us so much that in his grace, he gave us his son. Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried. He rose again to conquer death, and he gives the gift of eternal life simply by faith. So he's a God of grace and mercy. But you also have to realize that God is a God of judgment, because he says that when we go contrary to the truths of the Bible, when we go contrary to the principles of life, that there are consequences. The Bible actually says the judge of the world will do right. And so we're going to look, because God is going to warn Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar's not going to listen, and then God's going to judge. Have you ever thought about that God almost always warns before he judges? Think about this. A flood. Do you realize that from the time that God said that he was going to bring a flood on the earth, it was 120 years. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. So there was a warning for 120 years. When you think about Egypt, if you remember when Joseph was there, that he got the dream that there's going to be 7 good years, and then there were going to be 7 bad years. So he warned them before the famine came. And then when Pharaoh was ruling, and before God sent the plagues, Moses was go in and tell him, God's going to do this if you don't do this, until he warned him. And then we saw where Jonah went to Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and warned them of a coming destruction. And then we saw Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms after Solomon died, the nation divided into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, and they both went into captivity, but God warned them over and over before it happened. And then we think about us. God warns of an eternal separation, that by faith we can have eternal life. It should be really a dash there. God warns of an eternal separation, that by faith we can have eternal life. Every human being in this world, that if they do not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll be separated forever. That's what the Bible teaches. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die and rise again, that whoever would believe would never perish, would not be separated, but would have eternal life. So God warns mankind that he's given them a way of salvation. Well, this morning we're going to see God's grace, because Nebuchadnezzar, the man of pride, is warned by God before he brings the judgment on him. Well, how does all this work? Well, remember last time we saw Nebuchadnezzar had this dream about a tree. He brought in his counselors. What's the dream mean? Nobody knows. They brought in Daniel. He said, Daniel, you tell me. And Daniel, he said, tell me what the dream meant. So he gave Daniel the dream. He told him about this tree, and the tree was just gigantic and everything, and then the tree got chopped down and all of these things. And so what's going to happen is Nebuchadnezzar is going to be warned by God. That's what we see. Sometimes when we see the warnings in the Bible, we take them to heart, and sometimes we don't. And when we don't, there are consequences. We'll see it. So far, what does Nebuchadnezzar know about God? Well, in chapter 2, he realized that God was the God who reveals. In chapter 3, he realized the God who was the God who delivers, because he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now in chapter 4, he's going to learn that God is the God who rules. So let me give you the chapter. We had put this up last week, the outline. We saw already the introduction and the dream. And now starting in verse 19, Daniel's going to interpret the dream. We're going to see the fulfillment of the dream. And then we're going to see the testimony of the king. And that's what makes this a little bit unusual, that this chapter in the Bible is actually Nebuchadnezzar telling his story. And so this is from the view of Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll see it as we go through it. Well, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and it scared him. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 5. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was eased in my house and flourishing in my palace, and I had a dream, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies that I lay on my bed and the visions of mine kept alarming me. So what did he do? He called in his wise men. They couldn't answer. So look at verse 8. But finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. Now, if you look at this, this is written after all this has happened. So Nebuchadnezzar still says that he's got a god named Baal, and that Daniel is named after his god. And then when he describes Daniel, he said, in whom a spirit of the holy gods is inside. So we had raised the question that as we read through chapter 4, does Nebuchadnezzar become a believer? Does he believe in the true God of Israel and the Messiah? I would say, and I'm sad to say, it just doesn't look like he does. I hope he does. I hope when we get to heaven, there's Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll say, well, we read all about you, you know, but we just don't know. He does say that he has a God, and Daniel has the spirit of gods in him. So he doesn't really say there's only one God who is the Savior and all that kind of thing. So we'll see more as we go through it. Daniel said, tell me the dream. And so in verse 11, he said, I saw this tree. And in verse 11, he says, the tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky. It was visible to the end of the whole earth. We put this slide up last week. This was so the tree grew strong, reached to the heavens. Leaves were beautiful. Animals ate under it, and it stayed under it. Birds lived in it. Everything. It's just like the tree. But then something happened. In verse 13, it says, while I was looking in the vision, and I lay on my bed, this watcher came out of heaven. He called it an angelic watcher. That word angelic is not really in there. It's the word watcher, which means some kind of spirit being. He says, this holy one descended out of heaven, and he said, chop down the tree, cut down the branches, knock it all down, let the beast run away. He says, but leave the stump in the ground with a band of iron around it and the new grass. And then something strange was in. This is verse 15. Notice verse 15. Leave the stump with its roots in the ground, put a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him suddenly. It changes from a tree to a person. So in reality, in the dream, this tree becomes a person. And that person, of course, is Nebuchadnezzar. It says, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him share with the beast and the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed to that of a man, and let a beast mind be given to him, and 7 periods of time pass over him. The best that we can understand that Nebuchadnezzar, as he tells the dream, is that he's going to be changed to the mind of an animal for 7 time periods. And most likely a time period means a year. So for 7 years, that's what it says. And so he tells the purpose of this dream. Verse 17. Here's the purpose of the dream. This sentence is by the decree of the watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living, the people living on the earth, especially Nebuchadnezzar, may know that the Most High, the true God, is ruler over the realm of mankind, bestows it on whom he wishes, and sets it over the lowliest of men. Now, we talked about this last time. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar is supposed to learn. God rules in the kingdom of men. He rules everything. He gives it to whoever he wants. He has kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. He sets it up even over the lowliest. That means sometimes people come to power in places of leadership that are base people, that are lowly people, that are not people of character. They're not the kind of people you would want to be leaders, but God allows them to take power. You think of people like Hitler and Stalin and Pol Pot and just all through history when you see leaders who have come to power that are evil people. So God lets even the lowliest of people. And what he's referring to in the dream is Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, I even let people like you become king. So with that in mind, what does it all mean? So at the very end, verse 18, Nebuchadnezzar says this is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, tell me its interpretation, as much as none of my wise men in my kingdom are able to make known to me the interpretation, but you're able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. So he says, tell me what it is. Now, Nebuchadnezzar still has not realized that there is one true God, the God of Israel, who rules the world. So look at Daniel. Now, I think by this time, it's been a number of years. Daniel's not a young boy anymore. I think Daniel's getting on up in age. He may be in his 50s or 60s by now. Maybe even in his 70s. We don't know. We know he's going to be close to his 90s by the time we get to chapter 6 and chapter 7. Or, excuse me, chapter 5 and chapter 6. So I think he likes Nebuchadnezzar. I think he respects Nebuchadnezzar. And watch what he says. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. He probably looked at the king like, oh, I don't know what to say. The king responded and said to Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar replied, he said, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and the interpretation to your adversaries. He said, I wish this dream was for somebody else, somebody that hates you. And then he goes on to say, the tree which you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached the sky, was visible to earth, and whose foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, in which there was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and the sky, and the branches, and all of this, the birds and everything. It is you, O king, for you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. The tree is Nebuchadnezzar, the tree that covered the world. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the king of this world. In other words, what you and I would say, God has allowed you to be the supreme king on the face of the earth. That's what he's saying. But watch what happened. It is you, O king. And then in verse 23, in that the king saw a watcher, an angelic watcher is what it says, a holy one descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, and leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it of the new grass of the field, and let him, once again it changes to a person, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beast of the field until seven periods of time pass over him. So he's telling him the dream. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be driven from people. You're gonna. The dominion that you have is gonna be taken away from you, and you're gonna be like the animal. You're gonna be out there eating grass, and dew's gonna be on you, and your fingernails are gonna go real long, and your hair's gonna go real long, and you're gonna have a mind of an animal. That's what we're gonna see. And then Daniel says this in verse 24: "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. You will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. And seven periods of time will pass over you until why? Until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realms of mankind, and he bestows it, he gives it to whoever he wishes." He says, you're going to be like an animal until you come to the realization that God is the sovereign ruler and he let you be the king. So he's going to live with and be like an animal. Seven time periods would pass over. Most of the time in the Bible, when it says a time period like that, it means years. So it may mean 7 years until Nebuchadnezzar, he must recognize that God is the sovereign ruler. Is this an amazing thing? You ever seen anything like this? That a king is going to become like an animal? It's really a judgment on Nebuchadnezzar's pride. And let me talk to you about something, and we've said this many, many times. Understand about pride. We're all prideful. Everybody has pride. Pride is, if you took all the sins of the world and you said sin, the top one, the one that overarches them all, is pride. Pride caused the fall of Satan. If you go to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you have this being who is an angelic being who's called Lucifer, the son of the morning. He is guarding the throne of God, and he says, I will be like God. That's pride, and he was removed. And you go to the garden, and you see the fall of man, and God said to man, eat all the trees, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat from that tree, you'll die. You'll surely die. And what happened? When Satan came and tempted him, Satan said, if you eat from that tree, you will be like what? Like God. Pride. And pride caused the fall of mankind. Pride caused the fall of Satan. Pride is what stops some people from trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. They'll say, I don't need anybody. Well, yes, you've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody needs a Savior. I don't care. Pride. Sometimes it's pride that keeps us from growing and keeps us from relationships with fellow people. If you remember that there was going to be a stump left, he's going to cut down the tree. They're going to leave a stump and put a band around it. And the whole picture is so that the tree can come back. And notice what he says in verse 26. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heavens, the heavens that rule, somebody, God that's ruling. He says, we're going to leave the stump. Now, this would be an amazing truth, that not only is Nebuchadnezzar going to be removed, become like an animal, seven times is going to pass over, but God's going to bring him back and put him back to be the king of the world again. He's going to lead it all again. Nebuchadnezzar will be back. So Daniel is going to give advice. Daniel doesn't usually give advice. Here he gives some advice, and here's what he says. Therefore, O king, verse 27, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away from your sins. Break an hour from your sins. Do righteousness. And break away from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor in case there might be a prolonging of your prosperity. God may let you keep going if you stop doing bad. Because, you know, break away. Think about his pride, his sins. He was a man of pride. You remember he'd get angry. He'd kill people anytime he wanted to. He'd do whatever he wanted to do. And so basically Daniel says, stop being so bad and God may not make this happen to you. You know, there's a truth that the scripture warns us. The scripture tells us things about study the Bible, don't do this, do this, those kind of things. And a wise person listens to instructions. And that's one of the things Nebuchadnezzar's not going to do. We're going to see it and he's going to have the consequences. And all of us, we read the scripture, we study. We see truths and principles there, and it'll say something like, a wise man does this, but a foolish man does this. So which are you going to do? You have an opportunity to go either way. You can say, I'm going to do what a wise person does, or I'm going to do what a foolish person does. You do what a wise person does, he who walks with the wise is wise. If you do what a foolish person does, you suffer the consequences, and that's what we see. So what's going to happen? God is a God of grace. Verse 28, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. It did? What? Right then? No. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. Do you realize God gave him a year to get his act together, you might say? How does God deal with us? I have to tell you that I do stuff bad all the time. Don't tell anybody. But I do. And God is so gracious. He loves us beyond what we could imagine. And if we'd say, I'm not growing, I'm not doing what I should do, listen, now is the time to say, thank you for the warning, Lord. I know you're a gracious God. Look how you took care of Nebuchadnezzar. You told him, and you waited a whole year before you even allowed anything to happen. God is a gracious God. So look what happened. The king, verse 30, the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself, notice all the I's and myself's, that I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Who's getting all the honor and glory here? Nebuchadnezzar walked out on the thing and he looked across that city and there were the hanging gardens of Babylon. You know what the hanging gardens of Babylon were? The Babylon was flat, so he brought in a whole huge hill and put gardens all over it. Did it for one of his wives, and that was called the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. He looked, look at what I have built. Look what I have done. Look what I have done. And watch. See, Nebuchadnezzar had failed to realize that all that he had was from God. His position, his power, his health, everything from God. Same for us. You understand everything you have comes from God. You say, well, I got a job and I work hard. Who gave you the job? Who gave you the ability to work hard? Who let you keep that job? You could walk in there tomorrow and they say, oh, by the way, we just changed management and everything, you out. What? God is everything we have, our time, our possessions, our money, our jobs, our lives. It's all in God's hands. And he's the one that controls it all. And we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've given me. Nebuchadnezzar failed. Watch, verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth. While he was saying, my, 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 while the word was in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven said, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You'll be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realms of mankind, and he gives it, bestows it to whoever he wishes. He warned him, and here it is. This has happened immediately. Verse 33, immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. He became like an animal. Let me tell you, if you go back to history, you know, the kings wrote their own history. So you're not going to find where Nebuchadnezzar wrote that he became an animal except right here. This is Nebuchadnezzar, right? If you go back to the annals of the Babylonian Empire, you're not going to find anything that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but you'll find it right here. But what we do find in history is there was a time period in Nebuchadnezzar's reign that for some reason he wasn't ruling. That's all you can find. Doesn't say why, didn't say anything. It just says for a period of time he did not rule. Here it is right here. He wrote it down himself. For seven, let's just say it was 7 years. We don't know how long, but it seems to be years. For 7 years, he became like an animal. His mind changed. He ate grass. Fingernails grew long. Hair grew long. Went outside. So what happened? Who took care of him? Who do you think took care of him for those 7 years and watched over this? Who? I think Daniel did. I think Daniel said, listen, this is from God, and let's put him out here, and let's take care of him every day. And let's watch over him, because one of these days, what's going to happen? He's going to come back to be the king again. That's what they know. And I think Daniel said, keep a watch on him and let other people make decisions, but he is still the king. So the word was fulfilled, and his hair grew long, his nails grew long. It was like an animal until he recognizes. And so what happened? By the way, God can do anything. God is powerful enough to do what he says. He's faithful to always do what he says. When he warns and says, if nothing changes, there will be judgment, I guarantee you, he will do what he says. See, God's promises are wonderful. When he says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish, what do you get when you believe? You get eternal life and you will not, what? You'll never perish, because his promises are always true. Look at this. But the end of the period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I raised my eyes toward heaven. Here he is, an animal, and one day he goes, and he says, I raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. See, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. No, there's no my's in there at all. No my's or me or I's. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the heavens of the earth. And nobody, no one can stop his hand or say to him, what have you done? He says, God is the ruling one. He's it. And he blessed the Most High. And he said, God has dominion. That means he's in control. And God is the sovereign one, meaning he controls everything. Not only is he in control, but he's in control of everything. And nobody can stop him. He can do whatever he chooses to do. And then he says, at that time, my reason came back to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me, for the glory of my kingdom and my counselors and my nobles began to seek me out. I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. When he came out of it and he recognized God was there and all this, he looked up. Here's Daniel. Here's his counselors. They get him up. They get his clothes fixed. They cut his hair. They bring him back in. He says, I'm okay now. I now realize that God is sovereign. That God is the ruler of the world. That he does whatever he wants to do. That me being a king, that's just the grace of God. He let me be a king. And his mind came back to him. Look what he says in verse 37 about God. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are true, and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Look what he says. By the way, Daniel most likely protected him during all this time. He said, listen, I praise God. I exalt him. I honor him. Why? Because his works are true. He does what he says. His ways are just. He does what is right. And he is able to humble the prideful. He humbles the prideful. That's what this chapter is all about. Pride. Nebuchadnezzar said, this is my kingdom, that I have built, and I do what I want to do. And God says, no, no, remember, you're the head of gold, because I let you be the head of gold, and there's going to be arms of silver, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be the kingdoms, which we saw back in chapter 2. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're only there because I let you be there. And I still remember when Jesus was talking to Pilate, and Jesus wouldn't answer Pilate. And Pilate said, hey, won't you answer me? Because you know I have the authority around here. And I got the right to do what I say. And Jesus said, the only right you have has been given to you from above. There is no ruler, no kingdom, no power, nothing except what God has allowed. He has allowed each one of us to live at this time, in this place, with the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the possessions. That's all from God. We need to use them for his glory. So what have we seen? Daniel gave the interpretation Nebuchadnezzar would be an animal for 7 years. Daniel's advice was ignored. 1 year later, it happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And then reason came back to him, and he said, wow, God is sovereign, and he was restored. That's the end of this letter. Let me give you some applications. First of all, let's realize that God is the sovereign one. That's who he is. He is in complete control. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. He sets up kingdoms. He sets down kingdoms. He is the king of the world. And that means we're not in control and of our lives. He is. And everything we have comes from him. And he loves us. And he is perfect. And so what we need to do is offer our lives as living sacrifices that we give. We give it all to him. We give our lives to him. Come under his authority. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. The Romans 12 is talking to Christians. Offer your lives. That we've trusted Christ as Savior. That's the gift. But as believers, we want to come under his authority and live for him. That's the goal. The second thing is to remember this. Pride causes downfall. It always does. In Proverbs, the pride goes before the fall. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It can happen to us. Pride is the ultimate sin. Realize that all we have, our gifts, our talents, our possessions, our power, our responsibility, it's all from God. I read the story the other day of a guy who said he was a self-made man. He said, I'm a self-made man. And he said, the more I think about it, I wish I'd have had some help. You know, think about it. When you look at yourself, look, you're not self-made on any way. It's the grace of God we get to breathe another breath. It's the grace of God we get to be alive. And everything we have belongs to him. And he's given it to us to use for his glory. And so we got to realize that, and it's powerful. And last but not least, may we understand that those who reject God, there's a discipline, there's a judgment coming. God warns mankind for believers, as believers, when he says, obey my word, or there'll be consequences. We're talking about God loves us, and he deals with Christians. I mean, he disciplines his children because he's a loving father. But for the unbeliever, all I want you to think about, For the unbeliever, here's a warning. That none of us measure up to God. No human being ever measures up to God. God loves us so much, he has sent his son to die and rise again. And when you believe in Jesus, he gives you eternal life. Jesus offers the gift of life, eternal life. There's a warning. If you do not accept and take the gift, which is not works or anything, it's just trusting in him alone. If you do not accept the gift, there'll be a judgment coming. You'll be separated from God forever. That's the warning. So all of us in this room, I hope and pray that there's anyone in this room who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Realize, if you do not trust Christ, he's warning you, there will be a judgment, you'll be separated. But if you trust Christ, he gives you eternal life. As we go out these doors, we got to tell people in this community the message of salvation. Because God's warned them all, whoever believes in him will never perish, but who does not believe is condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May we rest in our sovereign God, the King of kings, the King of the world, knowing that we come under his authority, knowing that he is the sovereign ruler of all things.